274 of you wrote me the same comment. Different words, different states, different stories, but the same message. I can't move. Some of you said it like that, straight up. Others said it sideways. Stuck in Jersey. Mortgage underwater. My wife's job. I'm on dialysis 3 times a week. One woman wrote, I'm 72 with COPD and 2 bad knees. Every prepper channel tells me to bug out. Bug out where? That comment got 25 likes. 25 people quietly raising their hands saying, me too. Every survival channel on the internet has a solution for you. Move to Idaho. Buy land in Tennessee. Get off the grid. Great advice if you're 35, healthy, debt-free, and single. Useless if you're not. And most of you are not. You've got roots. You've got medical needs. You've got a zip code that picked you more than you picked it. So let me ask you a different question. Not where should you move, but what does the ground under your feet actually give you? Because here's what nobody tells you. The person who understands their zip code has a better survival edge than the person who moved to the number one state last Tuesday and doesn't know which direction the creek runs. I'm Max, and today on Outfox Apocalypse, I'm going to hand you a 7-point survival assessment that works for any zip code in America. Apartment in Atlanta, farmhouse in Ohio, trailer in New Mexico. Doesn't matter. 7 questions, honest answers. By the end of this video, you'll know exactly what your location gives you, what it doesn't, and what you can do about the gaps. Most of it for $0. No opinions. Every number comes from FEMA, NOAA, CDC, or USGS. Physics doesn't care about your zip code. But physics will tell you exactly how to survive it. Let's start with the one that keeps you alive longest and kills you fastest when it's gone. Point 1. Water. The average American uses about 80 to 100 gallons a day. Showers, toilets, dishwashers, lawn sprinklers. In a grid-down scenario, you need 1 gallon per person per day just to stay alive. That's the FEMA minimum. 1 gallon for drinking, cooking, and basic hygiene. A family of 4 needs 4 gallons a day, 120 gallons a month. Where does yours come from? Here's what most people don't realize. You already have 40 to 60 gallons of clean water sitting in your house right now, your hot water tank. Turn off the main supply, open the drain valve at the bottom, and you've got a month of drinking water for one person without buying a single thing. That's not a prep tip, that's plumbing. But it doesn't stop there. When you hear a storm warning, before the power goes, fill every bathtub, every sink, every pot, every bucket. A standard bathtub holds 36 gallons. 2 bathtubs and your hot water tank give you over 100 gallons. Then there's the water sitting in your pipes right now. Turn off the main valve, then open the lowest faucet in the house. Gravity drains the system. Another 5 to 10 gallons, free. And your toilet tanks, not the bowl, the tank on the back, hold about 1.5 gallons each of clean water. No chemicals, no blue stuff in the tank, that's drinking water. 4 sources, $0, already in your home. Now here's the question that scores your zip code. What happens when those run out? Pull up the USGS water table data for your area. It's free, it's online. Is your water table shallow enough for a hand-dug well? Do you have rain? NOAA publishes precipitation normals by zip code. 40 inches a year means you can collect rainwater. 15 inches means you're in trouble. Are there creeks, rivers, ponds, springs within walking distance? I'm not talking about driving. I'm talking about a 5-gallon bucket and your own 2 feet. And do you know the legality of rainwater collection in your state? Because right now, in Nevada, it is illegal to collect rainwater unless you have a water right permit. In Utah, you're capped at 2,500 gallons without registering with the state. These aren't old laws, they're current. Check your state before you set up a single barrel. The answer might surprise you. Score yourself honestly. If your water plan is, the faucet works, that's a 0. If you know your hot water tank capacity, your nearest natural water source, and how to filter creek water with a $30 Sawyer filter, that's a 7 out of 10. Write the number down. We'll add them up at the end. Point 2. Food. not what's in your pantry right now. What can your zip code produce? Because canned goods run out. Freeze-dried meals run out. The only food that doesn't run out is the food that grows. Look up your USDA plant hardiness zone. It's free, searchable by zip code. This tells you exactly how many frost-free days you get per year. Below 120 frost-free days, you're limited to fast crops, radishes, lettuce, spinach, not enough calories to survive on. Above 180 frost-free days, you can grow the survival king, sweet potatoes. 1 acre of sweet potatoes produces 5 to 8 million calories. That's enough to feed one person for 5 to 8 years. No fertilizer, no irrigation system, no modern equipment. Just dirt and sun. But here's the trap nobody warns you about. Most people's first instinct is to plant a garden full of tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, and lettuce. Beautiful, colorful, and calorically worthless. A head of iceberg lettuce has about 75 calories. You would need to eat 27 heads of lettuce a day to hit 2,000 calories. You'd need a salad the size of a pickup truck every single day. That's not food, that's water with a crunch. Survival gardening is about calories, not color. Potatoes, sweet potatoes, beans, corn, winter squash. These are the crops that actually keep a body running. The Haudenosaunee, the people you know as the Iroquois, figured this out over 700 years ago. Corn, beans, and squash planted together. They called them the Three Sisters. The corn gives structure. The beans fix nitrogen in the soil and climb the corn. The squash covers the ground and holds moisture. Three crops, one plot, complete nutrition. 7 centuries of field testing. Score your zip code. How many frost-free days? Is your soil clay, sand, or something you can work with? Do you have a yard, a balcony, a south-facing window? Do you know what edible plants already grow wild within a mile of your front door? 100 feet of gutter downspout and 3 5-gallon buckets gets you a potato operation on a concrete patio. The ground doesn't care about your property value. It cares about sunlight and water. Point 3. Energy. And this is where the geography starts to matter more than your bank account. The question isn't, do you have solar panels? The question is, can you heat your home and cook your food without the grid? Cold kills 13.5 times more Americans than heat. That's the National Institutes of Health, 20 years of data. 46,000 cold deaths per year versus 3,400 from heat. If you live above the 35th parallel, roughly a line from North Carolina to Oklahoma to the California-Nevada border, heating is your number one survival problem. Everything else is secondary. What's your backup heat source? A single wood stove can heat an entire house if you have access to firewood. 1 cord of hardwood, that's a stack 4 feet by 4 feet by 8 feet, produces about 20 million BTUs. That'll heat an average house for about 6 weeks. Do you know where your nearest source of free firewood is? After every major storm, municipalities pile down trees at the curb, free fuel. In a prolonged grid down, every fallen tree in every park and yard becomes a heating resource. No wood stove? Here's the physics. Your body generates about 100 watts of heat just by being alive. A small room with the door closed, a window sealed with plastic sheeting and tape, and 2 to 3 people generates enough heat to keep the temperature above freezing, even in January. Add candles. A single candle produces about 75 BTUs per hour. Not much, but 4 candles in a small sealed room raise the temperature noticeably. The military teaches this. It's not comfortable, but comfortable isn't the goal. Alive is the goal. And if you're in the South, below that 35th parallel, your problem isn't cold, it's heat. Specifically, heat without air conditioning. The key is shade, airflow, and water. Wet a bed sheet, hang it in a doorway with a breeze. Evaporative cooling drops the air temperature by 10 to 15 degrees. It's the same physics your body uses when it sweats, and it works best in dry climates. If you're in Houston with 90% humidity, it's harder. Shade, hydration every 20 minutes, and staying below the second floor of any building. Heat rises. The lowest floor is the coolest floor. Score your zip code. What's your January average low? What's your July average high? Both are on NOAA climate normals, free by zip code. Do you have a wood stove, a fireplace, or access to firewood? Do you have a basement? A basement stays 50 to 55 degrees year-round in most of the country. That's free heating in winter and free cooling in summer. Write the number down. So far, we've scored 3 points: water, food, and energy. These are the big three, the ones that kill you in days or weeks if you get them wrong. Now let me walk you through the four that determine whether you survive for months. Point four, medical. What's the distance from your front door to the nearest hospital? In normal times, that number means everything. When the grid is down, that number might mean nothing, because the hospital runs on diesel generators, and those generators hold 72 to 96 hours of fuel. After that, a hospital is just a dark building full of expired medications. The real question is, what can you handle at home? Do you have a tourniquet? Not a belt, a real cat tourniquet, about $30. That single item stops the number one cause of preventable death in every disaster: uncontrolled bleeding from an extremity. Do you know how to use it? 2 inches above the wound, twist until the bleeding stops. Write the time on the patient's forehead with a marker. That's it. Combat medics with 10 deployments say the same 3 sentences. What prescriptions do you depend on? Insulin, blood pressure medication, thyroid, seizure meds. Most doctors will write a 90-day supply if you ask. Some insurance companies fight it. Ask anyway. 90 days of medication costs the same as 30. You're just asking to receive it all at once. That's your buffer. And for the over-the-counter basics, ibuprofen, antihistamines, electrolyte powder, antiseptic, bandages, $20 at any dollar store builds a kit that covers 90% of non-surgical emergencies. Score your zip code. How far is the nearest hospital? How far is the nearest pharmacy? What's your medication runway? How many days of critical prescriptions do you have right now? Do you own a tourniquet and know how to use it? Be honest. Point 5. Security. According to FBI data, there's a burglary roughly every 40 seconds in this country. That's over 2,000 a day. And 2 out of 3 American homes still don't have any alarm system at all. In a grid-down scenario, even those alarms don't work. So what's between your family and whoever decides your house looks like an easy target? Here's a number that should make you feel better. A former CIA officer, a man who spent his career studying how people break into places, calculated that you can turn any home into a hard target for under $100. Fake security cameras with a blinking red light, $10. A large dog bowl by the back door, and a "Beware of Dog" sign, $15. You don't even need a dog. Doorstopper alarms that scream 110 decibels when a door opens, $15 for a pair. Battery-powered motion sensor lights, $30 for 3. Window track blocks, wooden dowels cut to fit inside your window tracks so they can't be opened from outside, $2 for a bag of dowels at any hardware store. Alarm company yard signs off eBay, $10. Total under $100. And if you can't afford that, a $2 wooden bar in your sliding glass door track and a chair wedged under your front door handle cost nothing and stop 90% of opportunistic break-ins. Bear spray. $30 to $40 for a full-size canister. Maximum legal strength, 2% capsaicin, EPA regulated. 30-foot range, some models reach 40. No training required, no physical strength required. It stops a grizzly bear, it will stop a human. Legal in all 50 states, though Massachusetts requires purchase from a licensed dealer, and a few others have size restrictions. If you're 72 with bad knees and COPD, this is your weapon. Not a handgun you can't rack the slide on. Not a baseball bat you can't swing fast enough. A can of bear spray that you point and press. A former Navy SEAL said he's seen it end a fight in 3 seconds. Score your zip code. Pull up the FBI crime stats for your area. They're free, searchable by city and state. What's your property crime rate? What's your violent crime rate? Now look at your home. How many entry points? How many are reinforced? Could someone kick your front door in right now? Most hollow core apartment doors can be kicked open in one hit. A $20 steel reinforcement plate and 4 3-inch screws change that equation entirely. Point 6. Community. This is the one that nobody wants to score because it requires honesty about something uncomfortable. Do you know your neighbors? Would they help you? Would you help them? Every real-world collapse tells the same story. Puerto Rico, 2017. Hurricane Maria destroyed 100% of the power grid, knocked out 95% of cell towers, and flattened the water system. The government didn't reach some communities for 12 days. 12 days with no power, no water, no phones, no help coming. The people who survived organized themselves. Grandmothers, abuelitas, built community kitchens, shared generators, rationed water block by block. They called them Centros de Apoyo Mutuo, mutual aid centers. Some neighborhoods ran these for almost a year without grid power. Nearly 3,000 people died, most of them not from the storm itself, but from the collapse of medical infrastructure in the months after. The communities that held together lost fewer people. The ones that didn't lost the most. After Hurricane Katrina, the same pattern. Some neighborhoods organized their own search and rescue. 350 private boats showed up, rescued over 10,000 people from rooftops while FEMA was still processing paperwork. But other neighborhoods tore themselves apart in 48 hours. Same city, same storm. The difference was whether people knew each other before the crisis. You don't need to become best friends with everyone on your block. You need 3 things. You need to know who has skills, a nurse, a mechanic, a gardener, a veteran. You need to know who has resources, a generator, a well, a truck, tools. And you need to know who will fold under pressure, because in a crisis, the neighbor who panics becomes a threat faster than any stranger. But here's the OPSEC rule that every experienced prepper will tell you. Do not advertise your preparations. The neighbor who knows you have 6 months of food in your basement is the neighbor who shows up with 5 friends and a crowbar when the shelves go empty. Be helpful. Be known. But do not show your hand. The best community position is the person who always seems to have it together, not the person who everyone knows has a bunker full of supplies. Score honestly. Do you know 5 neighbors by name? Do you know what any of them do for a living? Is there a neighborhood group, a church, a local organization that meets regularly? These are your crisis networks, whether they know it yet or not. Point 7. Evacuation. I know, you said you can't move, but can't move and can't leave for 72 hours are 2 different things. Chemical spills happen. Wildfires jump highways. Floods don't check your mortgage status. Even if your entire plan is to shelter in place, you need a way out. The assessment is simple. How many routes lead out of your neighborhood? If you live on a dead-end street with 1 exit, that's a problem. How far can you drive on your current tank of gas? Here's a rule. Never let your tank drop below half. That's your evacuation buffer. And here's one that surprises people. Do you have a physical paper map of your county? GPS requires satellites. Satellites require a functioning infrastructure. A $7 map from a gas station works when everything else is dark. If you're elderly or disabled and someone else has to come get you, are they briefed? Do they know your medications, your mobility limitations, your address without using their phone? An index card with your medical info, taped inside your front door, could save your life when the paramedic has 60 seconds and no cell signal. Prepack a bag, not a tactical bug-out bag with 40 pounds of gear, a grocery bag with 3 days of medication, your ID, a phone charger, a change of clothes, a water bottle, and $100 cash. Set it by the door. When someone says, "We have to go now," You grab it and walk out. 30 seconds, that's the standard. Score it. How many exits from your area? How much gas in your tank right now? Do you have a paper map? Does someone know where you are and how to get to you? 7 points. Water, food, energy, medical, security, community, evacuation. Add up your scores. A perfect 70 isn't the goal. Nobody gets a 70. The goal is to know where your zeros are, because a zero on any one of these 7 is the thing that kills you. Not the thing you scored an 8 on, the zero. Go to the FEMA National Risk Index. It's a free website, searchable by county or zip code. It scores your area for 18 different natural hazards: earthquakes, floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires, winter storms, heat waves, all of it. Combine that with your 7-point assessment, and you have something that no prepper channel has ever given you: a survival profile of your actual location. Not Idaho, not Tennessee, yours. And here's what I want you to understand. Most of you will find that your zip code isn't a death sentence. It's a puzzle with gaps. And most of those gaps have solutions that cost less than a dinner out: a $30 water filter, a $2 window bar, a $35 can of bear spray, a $20 first aid kit, a $7 paper map, a free conversation with your neighbor. You don't need to move. You need to know your ground. Because the person who understands the physics of where they stand, their water table, their frost-free days, their nearest creek, their entry points, their neighbors, that person survives. The person who moved to the right state but doesn't know any of that is just a tourist with a mortgage. Bottom line, 3 things. 1, score your ground. 7 points. Water, food, energy, medical, security, community, evacuation. Find the zeros. Fix the zeros. The FEMA Risk Index plus your honest self-assessment gives you a survival profile that's better than any best states list ever published. 2, the biggest survival advantage you already have is your home. You know it. You know the locks, the layout, the neighbors, the roads. A stranger in the best zip code in America has less advantage than you have right now, because they're starting from scratch and you're not. 3, surviving your zip code isn't about money, it's about physics. Water flows downhill. Heat rises. Cold kills 13 times more than heat. A $2 wooden bar stops a break-in. 40 gallons of water are sitting in your hot water tank right now. The physics works the same whether you're in a Manhattan apartment or an Idaho cabin. You just need to know which physics applies to your ground. 274 of you told me you can't move. You don't have to. You just have to know where you're standing. Always check with your local emergency management agency for specific risks, resources, and protocols in your area. Conditions change, rules change, and most importantly, take care of yourself and take care of your people. Stay safe. Max out.